Hello everybody. This is the translation of Joel's message for Sunday, the 2nd of March. Listening together. Today we arrive at the sixth and final stage of the short journey that our Union of Churches has proposed to us on the theme, Listening to God. We are far from having exhausted the subject, and if we wish, we can all of course continue reading and reflecting on this subject of listening. We are never finished. And this morning, it is therefore that we are invited to stop on the last title, Listening Together. Listening Together. Here is once again a great opportunity to recall biblical truths that are crucial for all of us. To go in the order of history, we must first recall that the people of Israel were repeatedly called to listen to the Lord in a community manner, as a people. This is the famous call of God. Listen, Israel. This call is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, when God solemnly states what Jesus will call the first and greatest commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And already in the book of Exodus, in chapter 19, God speaks clearly to Israel as a nation. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So one might think that essentially listening together concerns the people of God in the Old Covenant in response to the contract that God establishes with all of his people. In the New Covenant, where there is much talk of the personal adoption of each believer and the individual process of conversion, with the image that Jesus uses of the narrow gate, one might tend to forget a little the collective dimension of the walk with God. But does this personal adoption, fully revealed in the New Testament, which makes each of us daughters and sons of God, transform us into free electrons, as they say? If we recognise ourselves as daughters or sons of God in Jesus Christ, we then obviously recognise a common father, a spiritual attachment to the same family. We are sisters and brothers, and these are not just words. I believe that we will never say it enough. The church is God's great project. At the time of creation, God declared, "It is not good for man to be alone." We could easily state, without distorting the biblical message, "It is not good for the Christian to be alone." And to describe the church, the most explicit image that the Apostle Paul uses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we all know, is the image of the body, an image extremely rich in meaning. A body is not independent and dispersed elements or just placed next to each other, but it is a body made up of members, necessarily different, interdependent and complementary, and connected together to the same head. A set of hearts, for example, or a set of brains that could perhaps make you dream, but it would not be a body and it would not live. The church that God wanted is not given to us for the simple pleasure of being together, even if this is a happy consequence, as it says in a very poetic way in Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Listening to God together is one of the purposes of the church, and the purposes of the church are clearly defined in the New Testament. Unity is strength. This is the motto of Belgium, and we could make it a motto of the church. It would not be inappropriate, but however, it is not exactly that. The church is not simply the solution to have more means, financial and otherwise. Its vocation is much higher than that. It is intended to manifest the glory of God in the eyes of the world, and it is described as the bride that God is preparing and that he will make perfect. And while waiting for this day, we are called to live our faith together and to grow together. In a hyper-individualistic world, we must resist all forms of independence that can be harmful to the church. Not taking the world as a model, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, is also being attentive to the fashions that govern the world's thinking and not subscribing to them. So we sometimes have the impression that some people fear having to sacrifice something to engage with others. Yet being together does not mean losing anything of our individual freedom, our personality, our initiative. It means using and pooling the resources that God has granted to each of us. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6, Paul writes, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." First in this passage, one emphasizes unity, not individuality. And then Paul's words in the verses that follow particularly deserve to be heard together. They describe the true reason for the church's existence, which can only be realized through relationships, exchanges, and solidarity between all. Verses 11 to 16. "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." There are several concrete examples of listening together in the church in the book of Acts. And there is a very interesting passage in Acts 15, during what is called the Jerusalem Conference, after important debates. The leaders of the church write a letter intended for the church of Antioch, composed of members of pagan origin, and they formulate their unanimous conclusion with this sentence, which says a lot about this beautiful unanimity. "It seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit." Here is a conclusion to heated debates that we rather envy. An attitude of listening together and in a spirit of prayer and waiting for the thought of God, as the leaders of the Church of Jerusalem have done, is an example to follow without moderation. Listening to God together means living our life as a church and our learning of the Word in such a way that we can say more and more, "The Lord told us," rather than "The Lord told me." As we sometimes recall during the construction of the Tower of Babel, reported in Genesis, God blocked the pride of men in a very peaceful but perfectly effective way. He caused their dispersion by creating the diversity of languages. In Jerusalem, on the day of Pentecost, God performed the opposite miracle. He brought together men of all languages and led them to live together with their diversity and in unity. In Babel, God resisted the proud, but in Jerusalem, he gave grace to all those who humbly accepted the message of his salvation. God did not one day disperse men to encourage them to individualism and selfishness, and he has demonstrated amply throughout history that he did indeed create them, on the contrary, to bring them together so that they flourish together and pool their gifts. The church is the apotheosis of this project of God, so to speak. It is in the church that this divine project can be lived. Listening together, discerning the thoughts of God as a church, is a challenge to be taken up. It is one of the best activities that we can dream of as a local church in Bergerac. We have many opportunities to do this in our worship services, in our home groups, Bible study groups, without forgetting the youth and children's group on Sunday, and all the informal meetings that can be found and which contribute to fraternal communion and the progress of each person in the faith. We have opportunities, and we do it with our habits, with our rules, and sometimes also with our clumsiness, but always with the grace of the Lord, on whom we absolutely depend. Yes, listening together remains and will remain a learning process, because listening to God together is also, at the same time, and necessarily listening to each other. And that is an exercise that is never finished. When we express strong convictions, we can easily give the impression that we are trying to impose them on others, and we can forget, a little, those who are less comfortable expressing what they think. So yes, learning to listen to others, learning to give everyone the space to speak to which they are entitled, is a learning process that remains a priority in the life of the church. We often say that one of the best ways to get to know each other is to work together. This is also true for listening to God. Listening to God together brings each of us closer to God, but also brings us closer to each other. And this is not a side effect. It is indeed one of the reasons for the church's existence. Conclusion. I would like to end with the subject of our hope, eternal life with God. One thing is certain, the eternal life that is promised to us will not be lived alone. Life in eternity is the height of life together. John's vision of the apocalypse does not give us a glimpse of a complex of small, comfortable individual bungalows, well separated from each other. The vision that is given to John is the vision of the New Jerusalem, the holy city, the city of an innumerable people. It is in this life that we are awaited. When Paul writes to the Philippians that we are citizens of heaven, he reminds us that it is this immense community that is promised to us, and therefore for which we can prepare ourselves. We lack nothing. God has given us everything so that we listen together, pray together, sing together today, waiting for the day when we will praise together in perfect harmony and forever. Amen.